Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastama Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 84. O Maharaj Parikshit, let me now describe the dynasty of Yadu, the eldest son of Maharaj Yayati. This description is supremely pious, and it vanquishes the reactions of sinful activities in human society. Simply by hearing this description, one is freed from all sinful reactions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Super Soul in the hearts of all living entities, descended in his original form as a human being in the dynasty or family of Yadu. Yadu had four sons named Sahasrajit, Kroshta, Nala, and Ripu. Of these four, the eldest, Sahasrajit, had a son named Satajit, who had three sons named Mahahaya, Renuhaya, and Haihaya. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 21. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. The majority of transcendentalists understand only the impersonal Brahman, or localized Paramatma, for the personality of Godhead is very difficult to understand. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7.3, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. The yogis and jnanis, that is, the mystic yogis and the impersonalists, can understand the absolute truth as impersonal or localized, but although such realized souls are above ordinary human beings, they cannot understand how the supreme absolute truth can be a person. Therefore, it is said that out of many siddhas, the souls who have already realized the absolute truth, one may understand Krishna, who exactly resembles a human being, not a kriti. This human form was explained by Krishna himself after he manifested the Virat Rup. The Virat Rup is not the original form of the Lord. The Lord's original form is Dvibhuja Shamasundara, Murlidhara, the Lord with two hands playing a flute, Yam Shamasundaram Achintya Gunasurupam. The Lord's forms are proof of his inconceivable qualities. Although the Lord maintains innumerable universes within the period of his breath, he is dressed with a form exactly like that of a human being. That does not mean, however, that he is a human being. This is his original form, but because he looks like a human being, those with a poor fund of knowledge consider him an ordinary man. The Lord says, Avajananti mam mudha. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. 9:11. So, this is his original form. Then humans are made in this form, not the other way around. It's because people are very proud. They think, oh, because you're thinking of God in the form, you're just thinking of like you. No, it's the other way around. Right? Why would they say that? Because, one, they're atheistic or impersonal. So then that would mean their pride is very great, because then they'll consider themselves the supreme. So naturally the supreme would be in my form. You understand? So they'll project that onto others and say, you're just saying God's like this, but actually not. But it's actually the other way around. God has this form originally. Then humans are made with this form. Right, so that's right, human-like pastimes. Because that's what's interesting. Right? Being in Vaikuntha, it's not a human form. Right? In Vaikuntha, then that would be the form you would say, like, you know, the topmost of the demigods, that kind of form. Four hands and all that opulence and the mystic cities and all these kind of things. So he performs things in that way. And so for those who are interested in worshiping the Lord in majesty, then this form is very, you know, is the perfect form. But when you're dealing simply on the platform of the mood alone, not the greatness of the environment, then that, the human form, is perfect, because then it's not about mystic cities, it's not about, you know, great, great abilities and all that. It's just very simple and all that. So then in that way, it becomes nicer. Does that make sense? So then a sweetness can be found there. A sweetness can be found there that's not found in other situations. So putting stuff away. They could sleep in your bag. He's not getting much today. Okay. Okay. Yes. By the Lord's Parambhavam, or transcendental nature, he is the all-pervading Paramatma, living in the core of the hearts of all living entities. Yet he looks like a human being. Mayavad philosophy says that the Lord is originally impersonal, but assumes a human form and many other forms when he descends. Actually, however, he is originally like a human being, and the impersonal Brahman consists of the rays of his body. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagarandakoti. Brahma Samhita 5:40. Right? So the difficulty comes up is that the Brahman aspect of the greatness of the Lord, the unlimitedness of the Lord, the unchangingness of the Lord, that's an easier part to understand, right? Of the features of the Lord, that's the easiest to understand. Because basically for anyone, that the idea that there's a supreme energy, it's all-pervading, it goes through everything, everything is consists of that, it controls everything, basically all living entities will accept that. Right? That's not a problem for them. They'll accept that aspect. So that's there, but then they'll consider that's the highest due to, one, their own realization, and two, because of their own ego. Because whatever one realizes, that must be the highest, right? So they don't understand, though, the form is higher than that, and this is just the effulgence of that individual. Right? Does that make sense? So it's his nature to have that, but at the same time, he's a person who has that. That's why God is beyond our understanding. So you have material, you have spiritual, you have the jivas. All that's energy. So that we can relate to. But he is beyond that. He's the source of this. Right? So being the source, then that brings them to... Ah, now he's found a spot. So, there, does that make sense? So,
material, spiritual,
and yes, and so he's beyond. He's spiritual. Beyond that. So we're not used to that. We don't understand that. Because we're energy. So we're not independent. So that's why ultimately we can't actually fully understand Krishna. How much he reveals, that we can understand. But other than that, we can't understand. One, we're not unlimited. And... you know, but even if we are unlimited, even his Sarup Shakti, there's always going to be, he's the one expanding. And because he expands, that means his energy expands. So Sarup Shakti is unlimited because he's unlimited. So there's always going to be an aspect that's not understood. Right? And then why this energy then has that tendency to assist him and serve him, then that's not understood by him. That's just the way it is. Does that make sense? Yes.
The doubt might be that we worship the Lord in a human-like form, because it's very close to our own form.
Yes.
And then in Svarga, they do, you know, like Gopumar going from place to place.
Yes.
And then they feel the connection, they feel the closeness. Yes. So that everybody projects that this form must be supreme.
Mm. Yes. Yes. But you also see is that they will mention, at all levels, they also mention Krishna as the supreme. But that may be their particular taste. You know, because of their position or their service. So for Indra, then the Manvantara avatar is going to be, for him, very prominent. Because that's the form in which the Lord takes to assist him, you know, to protect the universe. And then for Lord Brahma, then the thousand-headed form of the Purusha is the form in which he works, because he works with the universal form. Like he's known as Hiranyagarbha, and he works with Hiranyagarbha, right? You know, like that. So like that, but then they'll all admit that Krishna is the supreme original form. They'll all, but they may have, like you said, their particular, how they can relate, or it works for their position. Does that make sense? So only in Vaikuntha, then there might be a difference that there are those who will consider that Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu. But then as we move up in there, because we mentioned there's three levels of devotees in Vaikuntha, so the first level definitely will see it like that. The second level, they can accommodate. You could see it that way, we could see it this way. They're not going to make a distinction. The third level could accommodate that he's different, but they still, it doesn't change that mood that they have of worship of him. It's just that they'll still worship him in that mood. So you take Braja Krishna, you worship him in Vaikuntha mood, he'll reciprocate as Lakshmi Narayan. So it doesn't matter. Yes.
So on that level, the sky above is fixed.
Yes. It's not going to change, and it's not dependent upon the environment. Like that. So that's why you see such personalities are rare. That's why Narad Muni, you could say, would be basically the topmost of that platform. But, you know, Narad Muni, Lakshmi Devi, Garuda, because they can relate that there's beyond. But they still worship him in that same way. That's why Lakshmi, even though she does all the penances and austerities to be able to serve Krishna, because her mood is still that of Lakshmi, she won't be able to get into the pastimes. But by meditating on Krishna in that way, then that increase in that affection and that's experience. But she won't be able to get into the pastimes, because what will Lakshmi do in the pastimes in Braj? There'd be nothing for her to do. Right? So therefore, it's just a pastime. She meditates upon him, and in this way, enjoys the experience like that. You know, just like you're saying, in the Vaikuntha temples, where they put the deity to rest, then that room, that's set up like Braj. And so then, they'll remember about that. But there'll still be Lakshmi Narayan remembering about that. So they'll still be in that mood of service. So then it's just pointed out, for that's there, and for those who can appreciate that, then they can get that full, that, you know, that uniqueness of being able to enter into the pastimes within Braj. That's why it said this has never been given before. But Lord Chaitanya's given. Hasn't been given before. Because others simply give aspects of Vaikuntha, all other avatars. So even the mix, because Dwarka, Mathura, there's still a mix. Can you use one of these chairs, or is that too low? If it's too low, you can switch, you can use this one. Yeah. You don't like the Chinese chairs? I mean, if you have a problem with the Chinese chairs, we can always try to make an arrangement. Isn't it? It's funny, isn't it? You look at it, you think, what's this thing? You know? But they've just figured out exactly what you require to sit in. It's the minimalist chair. You know, it's like perfect. I mean, you know, you can't even be armchair or something is there. But as far as just sitting, these are... And you can pick them up, move them around, you know, it's like that. So it's like that. Yes.
The Supreme Truth can also be understood as a person because person means, you know, it has limitations in it.
No, it appears there's limitations, but that's the point. Is he's got, there is no limitations. So you can be a person with no limitations. Mm-hmm. That's why it's beyond what we can understand. That's why there's material, there's spiritual, then there's Krishna. Right? When we're using the generic term spiritual meaning non-material, or transcendental meaning above material, then he is that. But technically, when you have material and spiritual, he's beyond the spiritual because the spiritual is energy. He's beyond that. He's in another category. That's why it's not understandable. But you don't have to understand that aspect of him because Bhagavan means the where he personally interacts. Based on how you personally deal with him, he personally responds. So it's not important that he's unlimited. Does that make sense?
Yes. And when they realize him as a Paramatma, then is it stagnant or is it a
problem? It moves forward. If your understanding is Paramatma, you can say in one sense it's a higher realization than Brahman. But the problem is unless you move from Paramatma to Bhagavan, then you'll come back to Brahman. Because Brahman, they can understand. Here, okay, it's localized, but they just think Brahman is localized. And so then, but Brahman is still unlimited. So then they'll go back to the Brahman form. They don't understand that the localized feature as a person, therefore, is unlimited. It's only by devotees you can understand it. Without devotees, it cannot be understood. That's the point. Without devotees, you cannot understand this. That's the point. People think, no, my intelligence is so great, I can understand anything. But that's simply false ego. It's it's a matter of what Krishna reveals. That's what you can know. So even the person who's intelligent, his intelligence is still coming from Krishna. So they have that ability only by Krishna's grace. But they'll think, no, this is me. So that, but if you understand, no, they're the jiva. And I have a gross and subtle body that I work with. And that's coming from the universal form. So it's not me. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. The son of Haihaya was Dharma. The son of Dharma was Netra, the father of Kunti. From Kunti came a son named Sohanji. From Sohanji came Mahishman. And from Mahishman, Bhadrasenaka. The sons of Bhadrasena were known as Durmada, Danaka. And Danaka. Danaka was the father of Kritavirya and also of Kritagni, Kritavarma, and Kritauja. The son of Kritavirya was Arjuna. He, Kritavirya Arjuna, became the emperor of the entire world. So that's the one that had the, how you say, the tete-a-tete with Parasaram. Like that. Which consisted of seven islands and receiving mystic power from Dattatreya, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he obtained the mystic perfections known as Astasiddhi. No other king in this world could equal Kartavirya Arjuna in sacrifices, charity, austerity, mystic power, education, strength, or mercy. For 85,000 years, Kartavirya Arjuna continuously enjoyed material opulences with full bodily strength and unimpaired memory. In other words, he enjoyed inexhaustible material opulences with his six senses. Of the 1,000 sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, only five remained alive after the fight with Parasaram. Their names were Jayadvaj, Surasena, Vrishabha, Madhu, and Urjita. Jayadvaj had a son named Talajunga, who had 100 sons. All the Kshatriyas in that dynasty known as Talajunga were annihilated by the great power received by Maharaj Sagara from Aurva Rishi. Of the sons of Talajunga, Vitihotra was the eldest. The son of Vitihotra named Madhu had a celebrated son named Vrishni. Madhu had 100 sons, of whom Vrishni was the eldest. The dynasties known as Yadava, Madhava, and Vrishni had their origin from Madhu, Yadu, Madhava, Madhu, and Vrishni. Omaras Prikit, who became Yadu, because Yadu, Madhu, and Vrishni each inaugurated a dynasty, their dynasties are known as Yadava, Madhava, and Vrishni. The son of Yadava named Krishna had a son named Vrijinavan. The son of Vrijinavan was Svahita. The son of Svahita, Vishadgu. The son of Vishadgu, Chitrarata. And the son of Chitrarata, Shashabindu. The greatly fortunate Shashabindu, who was a great mystic, possessed 14 opulences, was the owner of 14 great jewels. Thus he became the emperor of the world. Footnote 34. Srila Prabhupada writes to verse 31. In the Markandeya Puran, the 14 kinds of great jewels are described as follows. 1. An elephant. 2. A horse. 3. A chariot. 4. A wife. 5. Arrows. Not necessarily in this order, right? 6. A reservoir of wealth. 7. A garland. 8. Valuable costumes. 9. Trees. 10. A spear. 11. A noose. 12. Jewels. 13. An umbrella. And 14. Regulative principles. To be the emperor, one must possess all 14 of these opulences. Shashabindu possessed them all. So that was the major, all these different dynasties who have wanted to take over the world. You know, the Romans, the Germans, the French, you know, everybody. That the difficulty was is that they didn't have all 14 of these, right? You know. Why is regulative principles? Because if they don't have regulative principles, how will they... How will opulent means opulence comes from dharma. So if they don't have dharma, how they'll have artha? You understand? So to be able to have such great facility, then that only comes from dharma. So if they don't have regular, they can't be. They might be able to be a king to some degree, like Vayner, but then how long that will last? Right. So if they have these, then it will work very nicely. So we see is that Kritavirya Arjuna had these until he met Parasuram's father. Then he became jealous of the Sarabi cow. Then that's when then this was lost. The regular principle is that going, then the whole thing falls out. So,
this Mughals, they had a long time after generation after generation rules, but they didn't follow any of the 14 principles. So how do we understand?
Who?
The Mughal kingdoms.
The Mughal kingdoms. But how were they the emperors of the world?
Major point, significant point.
You might talk to the Cherokee and the Iroquois about that, or the Incas and the Mayas and the Aztecs. They probably did not accept their authority. Nor the Gauls, nor the Norsemen, nor the Romans, nor, you know, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying, it's like...
Not so much significant.
Yeah, it means they're significant in their area, because it happens to be in Bharatvarsha, it has, you know, more of a greater influence, but like that. But then how long did they last? 6 generations? And how long did each king last? Right? Each king, each mogul, ended up in house arrest by his son. Right? Yeah. So, not that great. These people can come up, they have some piety. It's not that they'll last. The famous Shashabindu had 10,000 wives. And by each he begot a lakh of sons. All right. Therefore, the number of sons was 10,000 lakhs. 10,000 lakhs. That's what? 100 million. 100 crores. A billion. Ooh. Wow.
Is that because Parshuram wiped up all the money?
Oh, I see. So they're trying to repopulate. Okay. No. That's the chair. The chair is Chinese. Among these many sons, 6 were the foremost. such as Pritu Shrava and Pritu Kirti. Can you imagine naming all those things? That would be the toughest part. Right? You know, people think, oh, what about feeding this? That? Naming them.
And remembering.
Then remembering, yeah.
In practice, then we believe it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I mean, first start with the 10,000 wives. Then you can, if you can pull that off, then, you know, what's a lack of sons? Right? You know. The son of Pritu Shrava was known as Dharma, and his son was known as Ushana. Ushana was the performer of 100 horse sacrifices. So the son of Ushana was Ruchaka, who had 5 sons, Purujit, Rukma, Rukmeshu, Pritu, and Jamagha. Please hear of these sons from me. Jamagha had no sons, but because he was fearful of his wife, Shaibya, he could not accept another wife. Jamagya once took from the house of some royal enemy a girl who was a prostitute. But upon seeing her, Shaibya was very angry and said to her husband, "My husband, you cheater, who is this girl sitting upon my seat on the chariot?" Jamagya then replied, "This girl will be your daughter-in-law." Upon hearing these joking words, Shaibya, smiling, replied, Shaibya said, "I am sterile and have no co-wife. How can this girl be my daughter-in-law? Please tell me." Jamagha replied, "My dear queen, I shall see that you indeed have a son and that this girl will be your daughter-in-law." Long, long ago, Jamagha had satisfied the demigods and pitas by worshipping them. Now, by their mercy, Jamagha's words came true. Although Shaibya was barren, by the grace of the demigods, she became pregnant and in due course of time gave birth to a son named Vidarbha. Before the child's birth, the girl had been accepted as a daughter-in-law, and therefore Vidarbha actually married her when he grew up. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments to verse 38. Seeing the risk of life for the king, whose limbs were perspiring and quivering in fear of his wife, the Vishvadevas and Pitris made his words come true out of compassion for him. It is understood that he had previously worshipped them with devotion. Though Shaibya was infertile, by their mercy she became pregnant. Parasara and others say, among all those who have died and those who will be born, the husband of Shaibya, Jamagha, king of the earth, is the best. Yeah, because he's very fixed. He's, you know, does everything, has the appropriate fear. Conclusion. The Virat Rupa is not the original form of the Lord. The Lord's original form is Dvibhuja Shamasundra, the Lord of two hands playing a flute. Because this human form was explained by Krishna himself after he manifested the Virat Rupa. The yogis and jnanis, that is, the mystic yogis and impersonalists, can understand the absolute truth as impersonal or localized. But although such realized souls are above ordinary human beings, they cannot understand how the supreme absolute truth can be a person. Therefore, it is said that out of many siddhas, the souls who have already realized the absolute truth, one may understand Krishna, who exactly resembles a human being, Narakriti. Hence, he is originally like a human being, and the impersonal Brahman consists of the rays of his body. Oh. Very popular chapter, this one. Okay, this is done. What are we going to hear? Oh, okay. Okay. Chapter 24, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratigya, out of compassion, Krishna creates this material world to give the living entity a chance to understand his real position. The creation does not arise whimsically, as atheistic men think. They think that this world is unreal, that there is no foundation, there is no God in control. It is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Bhagavad Gita 16:8. Atheistic rascals think that there is no God and that the creation has taken place by chance. Just as a man and woman meet by chance and the woman becomes pregnant and gives birth to a child, Purva Paksha. Actually, however, this is not the fact. The fact is that there is a purpose for this creation. To give the conditioned soul a chance to return to his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, and then return home back to Godhead, and be completely happy in the spiritual world. In the material world, the conditioned soul is given a chance to satisfy his senses, but at the same time is informed by Vedic knowledge that this material world is not his actual place for happiness. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha dukha doshanu darshanam. Bhagavad Gita 13.9. One must stop the repetition of birth and death, utara. Every human being, therefore, should take advantage of this creation by understanding Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, and in this way return home, back to Godhead. Adhyaya Prakashita. Vidarbha had three sons named Kusha, Krata, and Romapada. Of these things, Romapada expanded his dynasty by the sons and grandsons named Babru, Priti, Ushika, Chedi, and Chaidya, all of whom later became kings. From the son of Vidarbha, named Krata, came a son named Kunti, from whose dynasty came the descendants named Vrishni, Nivriti, Dasara, Vyoma, Jimuta, Vikriti, Bhimarata, Navarata, Dasarata, Sakunti, Karambhi, Devarata, Deva Kshatra, Madhu, Kurava Vasa, Anu, Puruhotra, Ayu, and Shashvata. Shashvata had seven sons. One of them was Devavridha, whose son was Babru. Another son of Satvata was Mahabhoja, by whom the Bhoja dynasty was inaugurated. Another was Vrishni, who had a son named Yutajit. From Yutajit came Anamitra and Shini, and from Anamitra came Nigna and another Shini. The descendants in succession from Shini were Satyaka, Yuyudhana, Jaya, Kuni, and Yugandhara. Another son of Anamitra was Vrishni. From Vrishni came Swapalka, by whom Akura and 12 other sons were generated. From Akura came two sons named Devavan and Upadeva. The son of Andaka, named Kukura, was the origin of the descendants known as Vahini, Viloma, Kapo Taroma, Anu Andaka, Dundubi, Avidyota, Punarvasa, Vasu, and Akuta, Ahuka. Ahuka had two sons named Devaka and Ugrasena. The four sons of Devaka were known as Devavan, Upadeva, Sudeva, and Deva Vardhana. And his seven daughters were Drita Deva, Shanti Deva, Upadeva, Shri Deva, Devar Kshita, Sahadeva, and Devaki. Vasudeva married all seven daughters of Devaka. Ugrasena had nine sons named Kamsa, Sunama, Nyagrodha, Kanka, Shanku, Suhu, Rastrapala, Vishta, and Tushtiman. And he had five daughters named Kamsa, Kamsavati, Kanka, Surabhu, and Rastrapalika. The younger brothers of Vasudeva married all the daughters of Ugrasena. Vidurata, the son of Chitra, had a son named Sura, who had 10 other sons, of whom Vasudeva was the chief. Sura gave one of his five daughters, Prita, to his friend Kunti, and therefore she was also named Kunti. In her maiden state, she gave birth to a child named Karna, and later she married Maharaj Pandu. Vrida Sharma married the daughter of Sura named Shutadeva, from whose womb Dantavakra was born. Drishtaketu married Sura's daughter named Shutakirti, who had five sons. Jayasena married Sura's daughter named Rajadhidevi, the king of Chedi Desha. Dhamagosha married the daughter of Sura named Shutashrava, from whom Shishupal was born. So the cousin. Devabhaga, through the womb of Kamsa, begot Chitraketu and Brihadbala. And Devashrava, through the womb of Kamsavati, begot Suvira and Ishuman. From Kanka, through the womb of Kanka, came Baka, Satyajit and Purujit. And from Srinjaya, through the womb of Rastrapalika, came Visha, Durmarshana. Shyamaka, through the womb of Surabhumi, begot Harikesha and Hiranyaksha. Vatsaka, through the womb of Mishrakeshi, begot Vrika, who begot the sons named Taksha, Pushkara, and Shala. From Samika came Sumitra and Arjunapala, and from Anaka came Ritudhama and Jaya. Vasudevas had many wives, of whom Devaki and Rohini were the most important. From the womb of Rohini, Baladeva was born, along with Gada, Sharana, Durmada, Vipula, Dhruva, Krita, and others. Vasudeva had many other sons by his other wives, and the eighth son to appear from the womb of Devaki was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who delivered the entire world from the burden of demons. This chapter ends by glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 31. Further descendants of the Yadu dynasty. 32 to 36. Prita pleases Durvasa by rendering service. 37 to 67. The Yadu dynasty continues. Verses 1 to 31. Further descendants of the Yadu dynasty. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, By the womb of the girl brought by his father, Vidarbha begot three sons named Kusha, Krata, and Romapada. Romapada was the favorite in the dynasty of Vidarbha. The son of Romapada was Babhu, from whom there came a son named Kriti. The son of Kriti was Ushika, and the son of Ushika was Chedi. From Chedi was born the king known as Chaidya and others. The son of Krata was Kunti. The son of Kunti, Vrishni, the son of Vrishni, Nirvriti, and the son of Nirvriti, Dasarha. From Dasarha came Vyoma, from Vyoma came Jimuta, and from Jimuta, Vikriti. From Vikriti, Bhimarata, from Bhimarata, Navarata, and from Navarata, Dasarata. From Dasarata came a son named Shakuni, and from Shakuni a son named Karambhi. The son of Karambhi was Devarata, and his son was Devakshatra. The son of Devakshatra was Madhu, and his son was Kuru Vasha, and from whom there came a son named Anu. The son of Anu was Puruhotra. The son of Puruhotra was Ayu, and the son of Ayu was Satvata. O great Aryan king, Satvata had seven sons named Bhajamana, Bhaji, Divya, Vrishni, Deva Vridha, and Andika, and Mahabhoja. From Bhajamana, by one wife, came three sons, Nimlochi, Kinkana, and Drishi. And from his other wife came three other sons, Satyajit, Sahasrajit, and Ayujit. The son of Deva Vritta was Babhu. Concerning Deva Vritta and Babhu were two famous songs. There are two famous songs of prayer, which were sung by our predecessors, and which we have heard from a distance. Even now I hear the same prayers about their qualities, because that which was heard before is still sung continuously. It has been decided that among human beings, it has been decided that among human beings, Babhu is the best, and that Deva Vritta is equal to the demigods. Because of the association of Babhu and Deva Vritta, all the descendants, numbering 14,065, achieved liberation. End verse. In the dynasty of King Mahabhoja, so again we see it's association that's the main thing, right? Because one has knowledge, one has skills and abilities, but it's association that's only actually going to determine how well you develop, right? Because otherwise, just having skills in the world and being expert at those skills, one will do very nicely, but the problem is that one won't go back to Godhead. Going back to Godhead then depends upon association that one can then come to the transcendental position. In the dynasty of King Mahabhoja, who was exceedingly religious, there appeared the Bhoja kings. O King, Maharaj Parikit, who can suppress your enemies. The sons of Rishni were Sumitra and Yudhajit. From Yudhajit came Shini and Anamitra, and from Anamitra came a son named Nigna. The two sons of Nigna were Satrajit and Prasena. Another son of Anamitra was Shini, and his son was Satyaka. The son of Satyaka was Yuyudhana, whose son was Jaya. From Jaya came a son named Kuni, and from Kuni a son named Yugandhara. Another son of Anamitra was Rishni, and from Rishni came the sons named Sopalka and Chitrarata. From Sopalka, by his wife Gandhini, came Akrura. Akrura was the eldest, but there were 12 other sons, all of whom were most celebrated. The names of these 12 were Asanka, Sharameya, Mridura, Mriduvit, Giri, Dharma Vridha, Sukarma, Chetro Peksha, Ari Mardhana, Shatrughna, Gandha Madha, Pratibahu, and Pratibahu. These brothers also had a sister named Suchara. From Akrura came two sons named Devavan and Upadeva. Chitrarata had many sons, headed by Pritu and Vidurata, all of whom were known as belonging to the dynasty of Rishni. Kukura, Bhajamana, Suchi, and Kambala Barhisha were the four sons of Andaka. The son of Kukura was Vahini, and his son was Viloma. The son of Viloma was Kapo Taroma, and his son was Anu, whose friends was Tumburu. From Anu came Andaka, from Andaka Dundabi, and from Dundabi Avi Yodha, Yota. From Avid Yota came a son named Punarvasu. Punarvasu had a son and daughter named Ahuka and Ahuki, respectively. And Ahuka had two sons named Devaka and Ugrasena. Devaka had four sons named Devavan, Upadeva, Sahadeva, and Deva Vardhana. And he also had seven daughters named Shanti Deva, Upadeva, Sri Deva, Deva Rakshita, Sahadeva, Devaki, and Dhritadeva. Dhritadeva was the eldest. Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, married all these sisters. Kamsa, Shunama, Nyagrota, Kanka, Shanku, Suhu, Rastrapala, Drishti, and Tushtiman were the sons of Rugasena. Kamsavati, Kanka, Surabhu, and Rastrapalika were the daughters of Ugrasena. They became the wives of Vasudeva's younger brothers. The son of Chitra was Vidurata. The son of Vidurata was Sura, and his son was Bhajamana. The son of Bhajamana was Shini. The son of Shini was Bhoja, and the son of Bhoja was Hridika. The three sons of Hridika were Deva Midha, Shata Dhanu, and Krita Varma. The son of Deva Midha was Shura. His wife was named Marsha. Through Marsha, King Shura begot Vasudeva, Deva Bhaga, Deva Shrava, Anaka, Shrinjaya, Shamaka, Kanka, Samika, Vatsaka, and Vrika. These 10 sirs were spotlessly pious personalities. When Vasudeva was born, the demigods from the heavenly kingdom sounded kettle drums. Therefore, Vasudeva, who provided the proper place for the appearance of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is also known as Anakadundabi. Footnote 35. Anakadundabi means sound of drums. The five daughters of King Sura, named Prita, Shuta Deva, Shuta Kirti, Shuta Shrava, and Raja Devi, were Vasudeva's sisters. Asura gave Prita to his friend Kunti, who had no Inshu, and therefore another name of Prita was Kunti. Verses 32 to 36. Prita pleases Durvasa by rendering service. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Once when Durvasa was a guest at the house of Prita's father, Kunti. Kunti, Prita, satisfied Durvasa by rendering service. Therefore, she received a mystic power by which she could call any demigod. But so, means everybody was, it means Durvasa Muni's reputation is very renowned. So everybody, when he came to their place, everybody was afraid of serving him and making a mistake and therefore getting cursed. So Prita was the only one who was willing to actually render service. And being a young girl and all that, he'd be more kind. So that combination. So she rendered the service, therefore she got the benediction. To examine the potency of this mystic power, the pious Kunti immediately called for the sun god. As Kunti called for the demigod of the sun, he immediately appeared before her, and she was very much surprised. Right? She just thought, okay, it's cool, you know. You think it should work, but at the same time, you're surprised it worked. Right? She told the sun god, "I was simply examining the effectiveness of this mystic power. I am sorry I've called you unnecessarily. Please return and excuse me." The sun god said, "O beautiful Prita, your meeting with the demigods cannot be fruitless. Therefore, let me place my seed in your womb so that you may bear a son. I shall arrange to keep your virginity intact since you are still an unmarried girl." Srila Prabhupada comments. According to Vedic civilization, if a girl gives birth to a child before she is married, no one will marry her. Therefore, although the sun god, after appearing before Prita, wanted to give her a child, Prita hesitated because she was still unmarried. To keep her virginity undisturbed, the sun god arranged to give her a child that came from her ear, and therefore the child was known as Karna. The custom is that a girl should be married Akshata Yoni, that is, with her virginity undisturbed. A girl should never bear a child before her marriage. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Right, so he arranged, and so then it worked out. Sukadeva Goswami continued. After saying this, the sun god discharged a semen into the womb of Prita and then returned to the celestial kingdom. Immediately thereafter, from Kunti a child was born who was like a second sun god. Because Kunti feared people's criticisms, with great difficulty she had to give up her affection for her child. Unwillingly, she packed the child in a basket and let it float down the waters of the river. So she did do the float down the river. Okay. So this was the original float down the river. Sorry? Yes. And then I guess following in that footsteps then the other, and it was successful. But it also has to be a good basket to be able to float. Right? It's not just an ordinary basket. Yes, that's what it means. So here's then she conceives the child and immediately gives birth to the child. So the demigods can work in this way. They don't have to wait around for all that. Humans, they have to wait, but here, so. Okay. Oh, Maharaj Prigat, your great-grandfather, the pious and chivalrous King Pandu, later married Kunti. Verses 37 to 67. The Yadu dynasty continues. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Vridashrama, the king of Karusha, married Kunti's sister, Shuta Deva, and from her womb, Dantavakra was born. Having been cursed by the sages headed by Shanaka, Dantavakra had formerly been born as the son of Diti, named Hiranyaksha. King Drishtaketu, the king of Kekaya, married Shutakirti, another sister of Kunti's. Right? So he was a demon before, so then he again continued in this line. So even though he's taken birth in a very good family, still, then it's a matter of the individual has to make that endeavor to give up the demoniac mentality. And since he didn't, then he continued on in that way. Shutakirti. Okay. Had five sons, headed by Santardana, through the womb of Raja Devi. Another sister of Kunti's, Jayasena, begot two sons named Vinda and Anuvinda. Similarly, the king of Chedi married Shutashrava. The king's name was Dhammaghosha. The son of Shutashrava was Shishupal, whose birth had already been described in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudeva's brother, named Devabhaga, had two sons born of his wife, Kamsa. These two sons were Chitraketu and Brihadbala. Vasudeva's brother, named Devashrava, married Kamsavati, by whom he begot two sons, named Suvira and Ikshuman. Kanka, by his wife Kanka, begot three sons, named Baka, Satyajit, and Pudujit. King Srijaya, by his wife Rastrapalika, begot sons headed by Vrisha and Durmarshana. King Shamaka, by his wife Surabhumi, begot two sons, named Harikesha and Hiranyaksha. Thereafter, King Vatsaka, by the womb of his wife Misrakeshi, who is an apsara, begot sons headed by Vriksha. Vriksha, by his wife Durvakshi, begot Taksha, Pushkara, Shala, and so on. From Shamika, by the womb of his wife Sudamani, came Sumitra, Arjunapala, and other sons. King Anaka, by his wife Karnika, begot two sons, namely Rita Dhamma and Jaya. Devaki, Pauravi, Rohini, Bhadra, Madhira, Rochana, Ila, and others were all wives of Anakadundavi, Vasudeva. Among them all, Devaki was the chief. Vasudeva, so that's why you just hear of her, because any special function, any religious ceremony, any formal occasion, then the prominent wife is the one who's always attending. But then the other main wives, then they'll have a major position. If there's beyond that, then they'll be in their own group, and they have their head. Does that make sense? So that's why one only hears about basically Devaki, because anytime we hear, it's always some formal situation, and because of Krishna. So that's going to make them the most prominent. Vasudeva, by the womb of his wife Rohini, begot sons such as Bala, Gada, Sharana, Durmada, Vipula, Durva, Krita, and others. From the womb of Pauravi came 12 sons, including Bhuta, Subhadra, Bhadrabahu, Durmada, and Bhadra. Nanda, Upananda, Kritaka, Sura, and others were born from the womb of Madhira. Bhadra, Kaushalya, gave birth to only one son, named Keshi. Vasudeva, by another of his wives, whose name was Rochana, begot Hasta, Hemangada, and other sons, and by his wife named Ila, he begot sons headed by Uruvalka, all of whom were chief personalities in the dynasty of Yadu. From the womb of Dhritadeva, one of the wives of Anakadundavi, Vasudeva, came a son named Viprishta. The sons of Shanti, another wife of Vasudeva, were Prasama, Prasita, and others. Vasudeva also had a wife named Upadeva, from whom 10 sons headed by Rajanya, Kalpa, and Varsha. From Srideva, another wife, came 6 sons, such as Vasu, Hamsa, and Suvamsa. By the semen of Vasudeva in the womb of Deva Rakshita, 9 sons were born, headed by Gada. Vasudeva, who was religion personified, also had a wife named Sahadeva, by whose womb he begot 8 sons, headed by Shruta and Pravara. The 8 sons born of Sahadeva, such as Pravara and Shruta, were exact incarnations of the 8 Vasus in the heavenly planets. Vasudeva also begot 8 highly qualified sons from the womb of Devaki. These included Kirtiman, Shushena, Vajrasena, Riju, Samardhana, Bhadra, and Shankarshana, the controller and serpent incarnation. The 8th son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Krishna. The highly fortunate Subhadra, the one daughter, was your grandmother.
These 7 sons of Devaki, they were immediately killed.
No, but Shankarshan was transferred to Rohini's womb. With the six, they were killed.
After the naming ceremony, they were killed.
Yeah, it's not that you don't have a name for the son. Because you also have the name before they're born. But that was, you don't tell anybody. It means the child before they're born already has a name. Because otherwise, how do you refer to it? It's it. You know, like that. So that's the secret name. Then you have the name that will be there that's special according to, you know, astrological aspects that might not be the prominent name that you might use for different ceremonies and things like that. Then you have the name that's known.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So, like that, then one could have three names.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you continue with those names or not, that's another thing. Okay, Srila Prabhupada comments. The 55th verse says, Swayam Eva Hari Kila, indicating that Krishna, the eighth son of Devaki, is the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna is not an incarnation. Although there are no difference between the supreme personality of Godhead, Hari, and his incarnation, Krishna is the original supreme person, the complete Godhead. Incarnations exhibit only a certain percentage of the potency of Godhead. Means they're fully the Supreme Lord, but they only manifest a certain percentage. That's why then you refer to them according to that percentage or that specialness that they're manifesting. So Krishna is the original, so all potency is there. Does that make sense? And then others are just expansions that manifest that aspect. But because any aspect is perfect, then it's still unlimited and perfect. Okay. The complete Godhead is Krishna himself, who appeared as the eighth son of Devaki. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Whenever the principles of religion deteriorate and the principles of irreligion increase, the supreme controller, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Hari, appears by his own will. Srila Prabhupada comments. The principles by which an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends upon earth are explained in this verse. The same principles are also explained in Bhagavad Gita 4:7 by the Lord himself. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shujamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In the present age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to inaugurate the Hare Krishna movement. At the present time in Kali Yuga, people are extremely sinful and bad, manda. They have no idea of spiritual life and are misusing the benefits of the human form to live like cats and dogs. Under these circumstances, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has inaugurated the Hare Krishna movement, which is not different from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One associates with this movement, he directly associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna should take advantage of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and thus gain relief from all the problems created in this age of Kali. And so, since the Lord comes to when irreligion is prominent, then he comes to bring religion back into place, because practice of religion is what will be engaged in the Lord's service. Right? So by practicing religion not connected to Krishna, that's where then things degrade, because why are you practicing religion then? You're practicing for the benefits you'll get. And so because of that being self-centered, it will naturally start to degrade over time. You know, it may take generations, it may take yugas, it may take whatever it is, but it will degrade, because that's just the nature of the material world. Right? So then, when that happens, the Lord will come. So then, in this age, then Lord Chaitanya has come to give how to go back to, you know, the highest position, because people are, how you say, they don't really have the pious qualifications to really take part in any other system. You know, it's not like, okay, you know, here we are, and then, okay, yeah, this came along, that's nice, you know, but we could do so many things. No, we're not qualified. It's only because of this mercy of Lord Chaitanya and giving of the Maha Mantra and the Hare Krishna movement, then we're able to take part. But because only the highest process is able to give results for people in this age. Therefore, it gives the highest results. So that's the special mercy that Lord Chaitanya is given. So then Prabhupada's pointing out people should take advantage of this. Otherwise, human form of life can be used in so many ways, but we try to avoid using it in ways other than what's recommended, which is the Hare Krishna movement. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.